Well, sounds like we've been given a pretty good ball team.
Oh, we got some pretty good players. I could do without a lot of the attitude, though.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210 edition. Today's episode is Season 1, Episode 20, Spring Training. And now, here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
Before we begin, Dave, do you want to give the feed announcement?
Oh, yeah. So I'm just going to change, axe the old feed at the end of Season 1.
So
you're good for...
this episode and the next two.
Yes, there are 22 episodes in Season 1. Starting with the first episode of Season 2, you must be on the new feed for your podcast app of choice to catch it. iTunes people, don't have to worry. That will automatically update to the new feed. If you have an iPad or a podcatcher app that will search based on titles, I recommend you unsubscribe now and then immediately search for Again With This and resubscribe. That means you'll be on the new feed. And if you have one of these crazy old apps where you can't search, you have to actually paste in a feed URL. The URL for that can be found at previously.tv/feedme. That's not the actual URL. That'll give you a page where you can see all the information and copy and paste the URL that you need to deal with.
For this one and our other many fine podcasts,
yes,
which you should be listening to all of them.
That
I assume that you are.
Extra Hot Great.
Yep.
That includes this podcast, Again With This. That includes Show and Yell, Hollywood Game Night. And that is just the beginning of our podcast empire, I think. So, all right.
It's awesome.
Take it away, Tara and Sarah. Episode 20 of Season 1, Spring Training.
Before we get into the episode, hello, Sarah.
Hello.
We just wanted to give best wishes to Shannon Doherty, our own Brenda Walsh. As we record this, it is Thursday, August 20th, and it just hit the news yesterday that she has breast cancer. So the irony of this coming so close after we just talked about the episode where she found a mass in her breast that was not breast cancer is very sad and really weird timing, but obviously all of the best wishes to her for a very speedy recovery and good health thereafter.
Indeed.
And to a lesser degree, best wishes to Brian Austin Green because his hot wife just walked out on him, but that's kind of a different
thing.
Yeah, supposedly he and Megan Fox are split skis. So,
Well, maybe she saw the footage of him at the spring dance, which we'll be covering in our next episode, and was like,
and
you agreed to wear that shirt. I gotta go.
Megan Fox, if you're listening to this and you want that dancing as a gift, look no further. I made one, so you can have that to look forward to. All right. Spring training. Let's start with the B story, except in this case, it's really more of an F story, which I like to call Brenda's Stupid Stray. So we begin the episode with Brenda out jogging and this dumb,
again.
I know. And this dumb dog falls into step with her. And here's where I have to say I'm racist against long-haired dogs because this dog is hideous.
It does look really smelly. It just looks greasy and
It totally does. It's all roomy around the eyes. It has that, like, you know when dogs get that like brown goo. It's
pucky.
Ugh, gross. Anyway, so this dog falls in step with her while she's jogging. It loves her. It takes off, and then at least one day later, because she's in a totally different outfit, she comes home from school, and the dog somehow figured out where she lives and is eating the garbage. And she yells at it like a person, as if it's going to understand, and it looks sad. It's obviously someone's dog. This dumb, it's not even a sheep dog. It's some other kind of stupid dog. You can look in the visual aids if you care to. But it obviously belongs to someone because it's a long-haired dog and its eyebrows have been trimmed. So they're not in his eyes. But he doesn't have a collar. And then she says this.
Folks, this is like 98,000% more attention to this dog or anything in this plot than I gave. So
I know.
Tara Ariano, ladies and germs.
Well, this will, I promise I will dispense with it quickly, but let's hear what she says in clip number two.
Okay. If I give you something to eat, will you go?
No, that will definitely not happen. That won't happen with
dogs
before. Any animal. Like, no, that's the opposite of what you do if you want them to go away. If you want them to stay, definitely give them food, you stupid idiot. Anyway.
It does seem that Brenda's understanding of how dogs work, how pets work, how weather works, how...
Well, that's a great
mammal
segue.
Functioning works. I mean, yikes.
When you say how dogs work, I'm imagining like one of those Monty Python cross sections where, you know, the dog is opened up and there's little little French guys in striped shirts pedaling and
pedaling on
the
stationary
dogs.
Bikes. Yeah. yeah, but understanding how dogs work and how weather works is a great segue to our next clip, because the Walshes are out sitting down for dinner when they can hear this very loud whining coming from someplace, and Brenda has to admit they have a stray and she left it in the garage. And then we get a little bit of Minneapolis history courtesy of Jim Walsh in clip number 3.
Brenda, we can't have a dog in this house, and that is that.
Why not?
Because I know who's going to be the one to walk it. And feed it and
no,
all...
Dad, I don't
walk it and please say feed it. Feed it.
I don't want you guys to lift a finger to this dog. He's completely my responsibility.
Yeah, well, that's what you said about Ruby.
Ruby was completely untrainable. I mean, even the vet said so.
And Bruno?
Bruno bit the mailman completely out of self-defense, and you know that.
Okay, fine. Let's talk about Mr. Pepper.
I knew he'd bring him up.
Jim.
I'm sorry, but someone in this family left that poor animal outside in the middle of winter to freeze to death.
I was 9 years old. How was I supposed to know about wind chill factors?
I can feel this one because I grew up in Saskatchewan, Canada's Minnesota. You know about wind chill factors much earlier than age 9. That is just stupid.
Yeah, I knew about them. I lived in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Also, what the hell? Like, isn't it that the point at which you realize that your child is on one point of the, like, sociopath triangle, and you wait for her to start setting fires and pissing the bed? Like, what?
Yeah. And the reason Jim is wincing around so much, by the way, which we will get to, is that he's injured his back in the other storyline, so that's why he's in such a state. But he's so against the dog that he's willing to endanger his own health further by taking it to the pound himself, as we hear in clip number 4.
I'm taking him back to the pound tonight, and that is that.
No, that is not that. You're not going anywhere but straight upstairs and back to bed right now.
Cindy?
No, I can't bear to see you walk around like the Hunchback of Notre Dame. And I won't have you barking at your children because your back is in spasm. Now, while you are upstairs recuperating, your son is going to post signs in the neighborhood to see if anyone's lost a dog, right?
No problem.
And until we find its rightful owner, your daughter will not only take total responsibility for this animal, but she will also get rid of it the moment it becomes a nuisance. Isn't that right, honey?
Thanks, Mom.
You're making a big mistake.
Daddy, I promise it's going to be totally different this time. You're all going to love Wally.
Wally?
Wally? Wally?
You won't even know he's around.
Wow.
That's my favorite.
I mean.
I love that music.
Can that be
yeah,
the,
you
can
won't
that
know
the
he's around
because
he'll be left in the garage to boil to death. God damn.
Wait, hang on
Brenda.
A sec. Let's hear that again. Wait.
Okay. It's not bad. It's more fitting than the klezmer music, some might say. Mm. But yes, Brenda has left the dog in the hot garage in Southern California because, again, she still doesn't understand how weather works. And then we get all of these quote comedy unquote. Like, you would not believe how much of the episode is given over to the storyline that really does not go anywhere. They're trying to Brenda brings her friends over and they're trying to train the dog, which he doesn't know how to do anything. He barks all night alone in the garage because that's where they have left him instead of in the house, not the car. He chews Jim's shoe. He is an idiot. Brenda finally sneaks the Wally into her room. and lets him get up on her bed, even though he clearly reeks, as Sarah mentioned earlier. Like he's
and as Brenda mentions several times
that he stinks. Yeah,
yeah.
Then she finally has to confess to Cindy that, despite what she said, she has not rehomed Wally, and we get a little bit of a PSA in clip number 5.
I went to the vet. The receptionist asked, "Hi, are you looking for a new puppy?" I said, "No, I have a dog that needs a home, like right now." So she gave me the card to the Department of Animal Control, and then she made sure to tell me that 3/4 of the 190,000 strays that were brought to the shelter last year were destroyed. And then she said to have a nice day.
It's a crime more people don't neuter their pets.
Get it?
Yeah, but who takes a stray to a vet first?
I don't know.
Like,
I
people
did.
Know about the Humane Society, right? That was a thing forever.
Sarah just said she did.
Well, Sarah's kind of.
Yeah, because they can scan for a chip. Is A.
Oh, I don't know if they could in those days, though. But yeah,
the Humane Society usually is full, so they'll just tell you to take it home. So I don't bother with that. I mean, whatever. All my cats are strays, and I will say, Shannon Doherty has like a whole herd of dogs. She's like the Will Graham of Hollywood, and is like really active in this cause. And I think Brenda, like, doesn't Brenda have some quote storyline in college where
she does.
She's like arrested for freeing a bunch of mice like an idiot.
Yeah.
All right. She just said, I think where I got confused is because she went to the vet and the vet asked her if she wanted a new puppy.
Yes. That's the part of the speech that makes no sense.
Yeah.
That the vet is now giving out animals to people that walk in.
Yeah.
Yes.
But your point is taken, Sarah.
So then they, I guess the results of the signs are that people do start calling for them. And then we get a scene of Dylan on the phone pretending that Wally is a great dog while Brenda inches away from him is like bouncing a tennis ball up and down and he's barking and like carrying on, like maybe take him to another room if you're trying to give him a good PR. Ugh. She then tries to unload the dog on David, but he tries to trade it for a date with Kelly. So she disqualifies him from taking Wally. Then it's like Brenda is in her pajamas getting ready to go to bed. And then Cindy's like, "Well, I guess I'll go feed your dog." Like, way to be responsible, Brenda. Classic Brenda. And then they go out to the garage. Wally's not there. They start yelling in the garage for Wally, like as if they wouldn't see him in the garage. And then, Brandon goes out to look for him, claims he's got street smarts. Even Brenda admits he has no smarts of any kind. And that's where we will leave the storyline for now and move over to the A plot, which is possibly of more interest to Sarah D. Bunting and then a question mark.
Nope. Just only because the first one is so ridiculous. But yeah.
Yeah. So
baseball 90210 Bray style.
Yeah. What is going on is Jim is, for some reason, coaching Little League, even though he doesn't have a kid, which is weird. He doesn't have a kid that's playing. But Steve, for some reason, even less scrutable to me, is helping, and so is Brandon. And we get to meet this muckety-muck Dave Franklin, who has a kid on the team named Davey. He works with Jim. And Jim takes a practice swing, immediately throws his back out, and Cindy has no sympathy. He says he's going to be out with this back injury for a week, which I have in my notes. He gets days and days off with a bad back. The 90s, because that would never happen now. Just be like, oh, you can stay in bed, but make sure you have your computer. And we do see him later on, like, working with, you know, papers and a calculator and shit.
Oh.
So Brandon has to take over the team, and he tries to enlist Dylan to help him out, which does not go well, as we hear in clip number 6.
So, you know, with my dad laid up, we need all the help we can get. First practice is today if you want to join in the festivities. Thanks, but no thanks, Slim.
Dylan, I thought you were a total baseball freak.
Oh, I am. But having to listen to these parents berating their kids from the sidelines all day long brings back a whole slew of bad memories. Nah, but it shouldn't be about the parents. It should be about being on a team, learning fundamentals, having a good time. It's very noble, Brandon. But when I was playing, it was about winning, any cost.
Still is. I know some people from the Valley took their kid out of the league because it was so competitive.
Well, no offense, Andrea, but did this kid have any athletic ability whatsoever?
Are you kidding? Avery not only won the batting title, but was the star pitcher for the entire West Valley Baseball League.
Well, guys, I hear what you're saying, but I can promise you that Steve and I will not run our team like that.
Crawford, get your finger out of your nose.
He eats them, too.
Take a lap.
Steve, Steve, what's the problem? He wasn't doing anything.
Yeah, he was. He was grossing me out. Last thing we need is a booger picker playing second base.
That was not audio wizardry, by the way. That was the actual cut in the episode from Brandon's claim to Steve's beration.
Yeah.
So surprise.
This is one of the rare times when I will side with Dylan. I was a Little League umpire.
Oh, yeah.
At their age, and the kids had no, like, I had no problems with the kids. It was all the parents who were horrible.
Mm. It is unfortunate. I'm sure it's only gotten more intense now that there's so much more, and people getting recruited so much younger or whatever. Anyway, Steve is a jerk of a coach, and we get to see him in this episode a lot of terrible tank tops that are either too short or have their armpits cut out too large, or both.
Or both.
Mm-hmm. Or some sweatpants that maybe leave too little to the imagination. All of these are in the visual aids. Check them out, but maybe through a hole in a box if you have to.
Low gravity cucumber warning.
Dave Franklin, the guy that Jim works with, who has a kid on the team, shows up with a whole bunch of brand new equipment. Everyone is all excited, including one kid named Noah, who gets slapped down by Steve, the mean coach, in clip number 7.
So, when do we get new uniforms?
You don't get a uniform until you can prove to us that you could smack the ball out of the park. You little squeef.
Little what?
Exactly.
Squeef?
Squeef.
Squeef!
Yeah.
Also, listen to the very start of that clip again.
So, when do we get new uniforms?
Yeah.
Is this, is this LaVoyne's son? Whatever her name was?
Yeah, LaVoyne. Yeah. I kind of love Noah. He's like a 10-year-old, like, Catskills comedian. He's so out of place in this episode. It's hilarious.
Squeef.
Squeef, yeah, I don't know.
Squeef.
All
right. They were...
Squeef sounds like it's like one of those animal characters on a mostly human-based cartoon. It's like, you know, it's Roger and, you know, and Skip. And don't forget their magical companion, Squeef.
Yeah. Squeef,
sir!
Anyway,
yeah.
So Brandon has taken over coaching in Jim's stead and finds it more challenging than he thinks, as we hear in this clip where he has an interaction with the aforementioned Noah in clip number 8.
Noah, hey, don't pull your head out, man, all right?
You know, the ball didn't get to my legs.
Well, it's because it took a sweet hop.
I don't know what you're talking about.
What'd you say?
You heard me.
Noah! That's going to cost you a lap. Noah!
Snack time, everybody! Yes!
All right. Noah! You won't believe what that kid just said to me.
Yeah, I know, he's a real paw, but he's a good hitter. And his mom's named Gersey.
Who?
The team mother. She brought this delicious dim sum for the kids. You gotta taste these noodles. Dim sum?
No, no! Oh, boy.
The racist music supervisor is back. He took a break after the East Side Story episode, and he's back.
A little squeef approved that.
Noah, form. Put down that Coca-Cola. It's possibly been peed in.
Yeah.
Brenda's dog is in the noodles.
Oh, wow. That was amazing.
Yeah. I would love to know, like, at what point it became unacceptable for that to happen. I'm sure it still happens on CBS comedies today, like, that they would have a cue like that, a music cue like that. Report in on the comments. Last time you heard a racist music cue like that on TV. All right, moving on. No. So Brandon has to go to work and ask to change up his schedule because of baseball, and he and Nat get into a very cliched reverie that once again is, well, I won't spoil it. Play clip number 9.
Well, I'm coaching a team for the West Beverly Hills Baseball League, and they just handed me a practice schedule.
Say no more. Take as much time as you want. On one condition. Got to schedule a couple of practice games against my kids.
You're a coach?
Yeah, I have been for years. Mid-City Park and Rec Center. It's a gas. I love it.
It's a
gas.
How's
your team? Are they any good?
Love these cats.
No, they stink. But who cares? You know, just being out there is like being part of a great American tradition. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I do.
Crawford! What are you digging for, dinosaurs?
I can't believe they did it again, and yet it made me laugh both times.
And Nat gets some friends. Like, you coach a team? Of course he does. He doesn't have any friends his own age. He doesn't know anyone his own age. Mm-hmm. Nat, get a grip.
He lives with his sister, we find out in the next episode, too. Anyway, so Steve really wants to trade Booger Eater Randy Crawford. Brandon tries to talk him out of it, making any big decisions like that until Jim comes back.
Wait, trade?
Yeah, they have trades in Little League.
Little League?
No, apparently. I don't know. Yeah. Is that a thing, nope. Sarah? No? Okay.
No. I should say in my town it was Summit Junior Baseball, whatever. I guess Little League wouldn't put a team there. It's not like it was the Love Canal. I don't know.
You sign up for your local team and you practice at a local. What parents going to be like, well, son, you got traded. Now we have to drive four towns over. I guess you should have, you know, taken those steroids like I told you.
Anyway, whatever.
Yeah.
So he wants to go over Jim's head. Brandon tries to talk him out of it. And then talk of getting rid of the dead weight or not is short-circuited by this in clip number 10.
Have you tried the souvlaki?
No, that's not a thing. It's souvlaki, not souvlaki. And no one on set got that, including the actor who had to say it.
It's served through a sluv.
Oh, God.
Anyway, so later, Davey, the child of the aforementioned Dave Franklin, the hard-charging equipment-buying dick, really wants to learn how to throw a curve, and Brandon has to be the only decent father he's ever had in clip number 11.
How to work those corners, Davey?
I know how to throw a curve?
Probably want to stay away from that breaking stuff for a couple years. You don't want to burn out your arm.
You know, you're the first coach who's ever told me not to push myself.
That's like my dad says. What's the rush? Davey, hustle up. You're in the cage.
That was his dad, by the way, yelling at him to be faster because he's a jerk.
Didn't we just see Jim hectoring Brandon about the basketball team and all that? Like, what's the rush? It's not exactly his attitude. Whatever.
Yeah, it's very. Yes, that's a great point. Then it's time for the practice game. Brandon, by the way, complains to Jim about Dave Franklin and not being sufficiently respectful of him because he's the president of the league. Like, president of Little League? Who cares? But whatever. It's time for this practice game that they've arranged with Nat's kids. They show up. They don't even have uniforms. So all of the snotty Beverly Hills kids are super snotty about it and give Brandon an opportunity to start to teach them about character for the first of 700 times in this episode in clip number 12.
Okay, we're gonna have a good time?
Yeah!
And we're gonna play ball like we know?
Yeah!
Let's do it! Let's do it! Come on, let's go! Where's my catcher? Okay.
This is pathetic! They're not even wearing uniforms!
So what? It's a practice game. You don't look so good, Brad. It's okay. They came out here to play, and that's the important thing. Now listen up, you guys. The way you treat your competition is a direct comment on how you play the game. Good sportsmanship counts big time with me and my old man. So let's get off on the right foot. Let's go out there. Let's treat these guys with some respect, okay?
Chill for a second, guys.
Brent, come talk to me for a second. Buddy, Franklin doesn't want Nat's kids using our new equipment. He just doesn't want any stuff to get broke before the season starts. You don't have a problem with that, do you?
Does he? I love that music.
Twang.
It sounds like when you used to get like the book and record sets when you were a kid, like that's the sound that tells you to turn the page. Yeah. Or like when you're watching a video when you were younger in school and that was where you pause it and be like, should so-and-so blah blah, and then you have to throw in the questions in your workbook. It's not subtle, is my point. So surprising nobody, the Dukes, the Beverly Hills team, completely destroy Nat's team. And then in this clip, we get our first encounter with Manny, the incredibly tiny, sad, pathetic foster child / perpetual victim in clip 13.
How many runs you score so far?
14.
Come on, guys, we can do it. We got two outs. We can get out of this inning. Let's go. Come on. Heads up! Okay, routine grounder. You got it. Easy out. Come on, Manny. Shake it off. You can shake it off.
Manny throws the ball over the fence,
doofus.
Of course.
You really eat toes.
You'll throw it better next time, Manny.
Eat toads.
Hey, Corey, hit it to the doofus. He's a real toad.
Up, time out.
Hurry.
Crawford, get in the game for Noah.
Forget you.
Get off the field, Noah.
Not getting off the field unless Coach Sanders tells me to.
Hold up a second, Tiger. What's up?
Benching Noah, he doesn't deserve to play with his attitude.
I agree. I just don't think you want to humiliate him.
And I'm not going to humiliate him. I just want to teach him a lesson.
Yeah, okay, but I think the timing might be a little off.
Fine. Why don't you coach the rest of the game by yourself, buddy?
Brandon!
Brandon stalks out of the game.
What happened? I don't know.
Little classic 90210 crowd noise there.
Oh, God. Well, and also, I think a mercy rule would have been invoked by now. I know it's just a practice game, but...
Yeah, that does seem high. In Little League, do they usually play nine innings, or is it like a shortened version?
This, it looked like they were playing six, which is about right.
All right.
Yeah.
So after the commercial, Brandon goes home and is very apologetic to Jim for making him look bad at baseball in his absence. Just kidding. He's a total dick about it, like he's a dick about everything in clip number 14.
God. I'm not going to argue with you anymore, Brandon.
And apparently you're not going to listen to my side of the story either, are you?
You already told me what happened. One of your kids got out of line. You lost your temper. You stalked off the field in the middle of a game.
Dad, if you'd have seen the way that Noah taunted their second baseman, I guarantee you'd have pulled him off the field in a second.
Maybe. Maybe not. One thing I can guarantee is that Brandon Walsh that I know would have handled the problem without causing a scene.
Oh, I'm sorry I let you down, Dad.
You didn't let me down. You let your team down. Dave Franklin called me from his car phone. He was so concerned about the situation.
Maybe I should learn to be more like Steve. Suck up to the parents. Let the kids do whatever they want.
Brandon.
Or better yet, why don't we just let the kids run the whole damn team? Then we can just sit up in the bleachers and eat tofu hamburgers with the umpires.
What do you want, Brandon? You want to quit being a coach? Is that it?
Maybe that'd be best.
You think?
Oh, Jim is sad.
All right. As soon as I'm back on my feet and back on the field, you're free to quit. But up until then, I need you to gut it out for me.
How soon will that be?
Hopefully by next practice. Assuming I can get some peace and quiet around here.
Fucking Wally.
Fucking Brandon.
I know.
Oh, my God.
How soon will that be? How about next year, you fucking dick? What's wrong with you?
Such and, you know, his back is out. He can't physically force you to go to the fields. Just let Steve handle it, which he was doing.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So, I know, asshole. The worst. So Brandon goes to the Peach Pit to apologize for Jim's team, basically. Nat is quite gracious about it, says that after Brandon left, Steve was nice. But then Brandon made an effort. No, Manny made another error is what I meant to say. And like had a shit fit, apparently, which we don't get to hear the details about. And so Brandon gets an idea in clip 15.
Oh,
I really feel terrible about all this, Nat.
The fact is that my little kids from the park and rec just weren't ready to compete against the vast resources of West Beverly Hills Baseball League. Not that I couldn't whip them into better shape, but it's just tough to do it all by yourself.
Well, you in the market for a feisty third base coach?
Why, you looking to become a free agent?
I'm a journeyman ball player, Nat. I go where I'm needed and wanted.
You must not go anywhere then.
Yeah, stay home a lot then.
So Brandon goes home, Jim is back on his feet, and then this incredibly weird exchange happens in clip 16.
Listen, a lot of things got said last night that I deeply regret.
What?
And I want you to know how sorry I am that we're not going to be coaching together again. Maybe you'll reconsider.
Maybe.
Sarah.
Okay, first of all. First of all, why are you apologizing to Brandon?
Yep.
Second of all, I can understand that the things you didn't say, like, stow it sideways and covered with fire ants, you little shit cock, might be things that you regret. Things that you actually said, like, suck it up and deal. I don't see why you regret those things.
Yeah.
And third of all, you two didn't break up. You don't have a former romantic relationship. So why are you, like, basically verbally digging your toe in the ground and twirling your missing, whatever, your back hair around your finger like a teenage schoolgirl to your child?
Yeah, those are all great points. It's very strange. There's an even stranger.
My notes are like all caps right here that I'm like, what is going on?
I know. So Steve happens to be over and he's making a lineup and everyone seems very conciliatory. And so Brandon is actually in a kind of better mood for a while in clip 17.
Brandon, your dad's a great guy. The three of us could go all the way this season.
Yeah, especially with Dave Franklin pulling all the strings.
Look, I'm sorry about the other day, but we're a team.
Look, Steve, I was just talking to Nat.
Great! Tell him we've had a change of heart. We definitely want to play those kids in another practice game.
Really?
Absolutely.
All right. But why the sudden change of heart?
You gotta admit that if we clobber these nerd balls, it'll be great for team morale.
Oh, Steve.
Classic Sanders.
Yeah. So Brandon then gets Dylan involved with Nat's team because I guess all of these kids who don't have parents aren't going to be a problem for Dylan and all his principals. And then they watch them. We see them later. They're at the Peach Pit eating and we hear that they're doing much better. Although for once the show spares us the predictable. We don't have to watch an actual training montage of them getting better. But they still need a pitcher and they really want to beat the Dukes. More like the Dicks. So Brandon calls Andrea about this Avery kid, and then he goes home and he has an even weirder conversation with Jim in clip 18.
Just a quick thing about tomorrow's game. You want to ride with me, or is Steve going to be picking you up?
Actually, I was going to ride with Dylan.
Okay.
But I'll go with you if you want.
Whatever you prefer.
I'll go with you.
Night.
And then they Frenched? What the
Seriously?
Fuck?
It's even worse than the one that you got the anime clip before. Like, why is Jim acting like a jilted lover trying to start shit up again? Really weird. So then it's time for the big game. Nat has finally gotten the kids' shirts, which he calls real jazzy. Dylan is also there in a Peach Pit t-shirt. And if you remember anything about this episode, it's probably how incredibly weird Dylan looks dressed up for baseball. First of all, I don't know why he's in baseball pants. Like, you're not going to be running bases, but he is. They're navy blue, they're hiked up to like mid rib cage, and just highlights how really very short his torso is. He looks like a stick insect. There's no other way to say it. And if you want to see it, and you do, it's obviously in the visual aids.
And he has very broad shoulders also. Like,
yeah.
I guess we should have noticed this when he was in his surfing attire in an earlier episode, and we'll see it again in an upcoming episode. Like, he's not in bad shape, and I wouldn't even say he's like scrawny exactly. He's just very slender, and it's not a good look, and I really, really longed for the floofy jam pants, you know, trendoid baggies of earlier episodes, because this was really a lot of information about Luke Perry.
Yep. Anyway,
welcome.
No, so the game is typical. That kid Noah, our favorite, and his other little hench shithead Corey being shitheads, which we will hear in clip 19.
Corey, Noah, We're having a team meeting over here. You guys want to tell me what's so funny?
What, someone cut one over here?
Yeah, that Pee Wee been playing second base again.
Hey, listen up. I said listen up.
Ooh.
You know, everyone's predicting you guys will be the team to beat this year. But my take on it is if you all don't change your attitude real quick, it won't matter how many games you win. You won't be the champs. What? You'll be the chumps.
What?
And the worst part about it is you won't even know it.
Come on, Brandon, lighten up. You gotta admit that kid Manny's a real klutz out there. What's your sense of humor?
What's your sense of humor?
Cool. The champ line is so bad.
Oh, I would really love to know how many takes Priestley needed to force out that champs chumps line, because it's terrible.
It's really bad.
I also love that they're completely impervious, basically, that they're like, whatever, yeah. Dad cap, screw off.
Totally. So Andrea finally shows up to the game late, and she's brought this Avery that we've heard so much about, and then when she takes off her baseball hat to put on her batting helmet, I guess I've already tipped it, she's a girl, and of course, everyone laughs, and of course, she's amazing and immediately hits a home run. She continues being amazing through more of the clip. We get to see some great eye roll acting from Noah and Steve, all in the visual aids. And also some, again, A-plus crowd work in clip 20.
Come on, you can do it! Come on!
Come on!
You can do it! I ate a whole bag of Jack's lunch.
Jesus. And of course, Jim is back, and so we get to see what his coaching style really is like in clip 21.
Everybody been in the game? Not Randy Crawford.
Crawford, get in right field.
Let's go.
Come on, let's show him. Come on.
Mr. Walsh, did you forget we're going to trade Randy next week?
That's next week. This week he's in right.
All right, come on now.
Come on, guys.
Let's get him.
Go.
This is it.
You battled back, all right.
Oh, thanks to Davey. Clutch hitting, power pitching, he's got it all.
Thanks. He really enjoys playing with his friends. You know, it'd be a shame to win it with Tim Bosworth's son sitting on the bench.
It's just a practice game, Dave.
Yeah, well, it's your decision. You're the manager.
Is he Dave Franklin? Is he?
Did they just have a loop of that one kid saying, come on! I heard it like 7 times during the clip.
I did too. So there's more baseballing. It's all very boring. Finally, I'm sorry. Did you have more to add? It was boring to me.
There's more baseballing. It's all very boring. The entire area of his friendship with Sarah DeBunting story.
Basically. So then Manny's up to bat. Dave Franklin laughs at him all mean. So does Steve. Jim doesn't get the joke, as though it wasn't obvious from the fact that he's like 10 years old and he's 2 feet tall. But anyway, everyone all starts laughing. And then Brandon gets to deliver his final sportsmanship lecture of the episode in clip 22.
Listen up. Here's my predictions. I predict he'll strike out in 3 pitches. And I predict that no one on this team is going to try to make him feel bad about that. This kid's had a tough life. There's no reason on earth why any of you should try to make it any harder on him. And having said that, let's play ball. Let's go.
All right, Manny. Tag this one, baby. He ain't got nothing.
You can come by this doofus, Davey. The doofus on wheels. Give it up, doofus. It's Pee Wee Doofus. The bat looks kind of heavy.
But Davey on the mound remembers what Brandon told him.
The way you treat your competition is
direct. Oh, God.
Give it up, doofus!
He throws a real soft one. Manny gets a hit. Everyone is happy. So what happens next, and I gift this too, is that Randy Crawford, the shitty booger eater, is out on the field, and the ball comes at him. He misses it. It bounces out of his glove and then hits him in the head in slow motion. So we're not allowed to laugh at Manny for being bad at baseball, but it's okay to laugh at Randy because he picks his nose and is rich. I don't understand what point the show wants us to take from this.
I don't either. I would also add that you can throw it as soft as you want to a Manny, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter. Like, they can't. He would have swung already before you pitched. Yeah. And when he made the error before and threw the ball, like, way wild and in the wrong direction, he threw it, like, over the backstop. Like, the kid had a gun on him. So, sort of a weird casting choice. Like, he is very teeny and does look forlorn, but he actually doesn't suck. And yeah. he and this one other kid who is shown with the exact same swing like three different times, mm-hmm. Apparently were the only ones who could really hit at all, because they just kept recycling the footage of that other regulation height kid anyway.
Oh God. See, I would never have noticed any of that because I don't care at all. Did I notice that Wally's eyebrows were trimmed? Sure. Baseball action, don't care.
You're better off, trust me. I was like, doesn't the ump get to decide when ball is back in play? But of course it's Brandon.
Right.
If you bray it, they will come.
So then there's reactions to the way the game ends, starting with Dave Franklin yelling at Jim in clip 23.
Bosworth's kid would have caught that ball. We should have caught that ball. We should have won this game.
Well, Flatbush.
Don't look now, but we did win the game.
2-4-6-8.
Yeah! Whoa! That was Brandon, by the way, in case you couldn't tell. And then Noah tries to shrug it off in classic Noah style, but Steve is not having it in clip 24.
It was just a practice game. It doesn't matter if you lose a practice game. I mean, it was just a practice game. It doesn't even count.
Noah? It counts.
I don't know why the director said it was okay for Noah to ad-lib, but he's not very good at it because he said practice game like 50 times. And then yeah. Steve and Brandon decide they should go and console the booger eater, even though he eats boogers and has red hair, out in the outfield where he's so sad. And then things start to look up for good old Randy Crawford in our final clip, 25.
That's not Wally, that's Rupert. That's my dog. Oh, he's back. I thought you were dead, Rupert.
Jesus.
Rupert. I thought you were dead.
Wow.
What the fuck?
The kid's like 9. Like, how about I thought you were gone forever, or I didn't know what would happen to you? Like, I thought you were dead.
I left you outside, and I thought you might have frozen to death.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so, and then Brenda's all Rupert, like, as if that's a worse name than fucking Wally.
Wally?
Yeah. And that's it. The Walshes go home together. That's all we ever see of baseball ever again.
And we never saw it again.
Never did.
To the Phantom Zone with you, sport.
Exactly.
I'm fine with it.
So let's wind up by naming the episode's most valuable player. Davey? He was the only one who actually listened to Brandon's sportsmanship lectures, apparently.
Noah, because he didn't.
Yeah, answer. And least valuable player. Sarah.
Well, gosh. I think it's Randy Crawford, because not only does he suck in the field and he's a booger eater, but he does not take good care of his dog and it ran away, thus inflicting this entire storyline upon us. But there are a bunch of least valuable players in this episode. Wardrobe, the one. Who's yours?
Yeah, I was going to say whoever cut Steve's shirts for him, because they are not his friend. There, you seriously can see his navel in one of them. Like, it's not okay. That's not acceptable for anyone, but especially not for a 16/33-year-old man. Not.
Well, and there's a couple of profile shots where...
Yeah. His eye precision. Is peeking out
here
at you,
are.
As you would.
Yeah.
All right. And the Kim challenge.
Mad, bad, and dangerous to me.
5 reasons from this episode that Dylan proves himself to be mad, bad, dangerous, and dangerous to know. I will start with, he's still hanging on to shit from when he was in Little League at minimum of like 8 years ago. So maybe he's got some unresolved anger issues that are going to bubble up and end up in someone being killed someday.
Yeah. Could blow away in a stiff breeze, apparently.
Yeah, could cut you on his shoulder blades too, judging from how he looked in that t-shirt. Now we know how he wears the Baja vests all the time.
Might use his exceptional dog selling powers to sell your dog from underneath you. Leaving you dogless.
And will nibble your plants and ruin your garden.
Because he's a stick insect.
He really is.
Good one, Sarah.
Bless his heart.
And that's it.
No, you need one more. That was four.
That was five. I said two, Sarah said two, and you said one.
Oh, okay.
We're good.
All right, great.
Yep.
All right.
Next time, spring is in the air. Will Brenda and Dylan do it? Spoiler, yes, but you should still tune in anyway, you little squeeves. I'm Sarah D. Bunting, and you can find me on Twitter at Tomato Nation. You can find my esteemed colleagues, Tara and Dave, at Tara Ariano and at Clark, respectively. We will see you next time.
And this is your Flash the Cash DJ, and you're listening to KWBH. See ya!